Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. And we'll read the whole chapter. And we're going to look at this great chapter tonight. Psalm chapter 55, beginning to read from verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Though then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storms and tempests. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I would have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that he did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, mine guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. This is a wonderful, great psalm. And you know, the psalms, when we read the life of David and we see the experiences in the life of David, what I appreciate about David's life is it's very real. And it is exposed here in the psalms. We actually enter into the very depths of a man's heart. It's not just the outward of just going through emotions, but there is the reality of a man's heart, the cry from the depths of David's heart. Sometimes he was in a cave, he was often on the run. Sometimes there's great psalms of exaltation unto God, thanking God for his mercy. Other times there are great cries when he enters in the great depths, great storms, great trials, when he comes to that place where it seems as though it's hopeless, where all the storms like this psalm have compressed and then in Christ in on top of the psalmist David. And we can draw great comfort from the psalms because we see here's a real man. And the Lord said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. He had a passion for God. We remember him as the young boy that came onto the battlefield in the day when Israel were down in the trenches and the Goliath would come out and bring these great threatenings. And we see this young shepherd boy rise up and believe God. And in that hour he cries out, is there not a cause that we could give our lives to? And that, I believe that's the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing worth giving your life to is the gospel. And we see through his life the tragedies. We see the failure. We also see the sin. He wasn't a perfect man, yet in his heart he had a desire to serve God and go after God. But we see the great depths that he has fallen to. And at times we read of David that he comes to a place where he seems so crushed. that it seems as though it's impossible for him even to go on another moment unless God would intervene, unless God would come down and deliver him from his troubles and from his enemy. It seemed as though he was living on the edge of utter destruction. And I want to look into this psalm tonight and put it into the context and look at the period in the life of David, this particular time when David would pen these words. And it's very real. And it's a time, of course, that we're going to look at tonight that David comes to a place of great distress. He says there are just a few verses to point out to you before we just move into it. He says in verse 3, just go over it again with me slowly. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. And then listen to what he said. This is very real. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. He says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Then he says these words, verse 6. And, you know, I've heard many people say this over the years. I've heard many believers say this in times of great trouble. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You know, in the great depths of trial and the troubles that come, and it comes to every home, Christian or non-Christian, often when we face these troubles, these thoughts would come flooding in. If I had wings, do you know, I would just take off. I would just take off like the dove, and then I would be at rest. But let us just look for a moment just at what is happening in this chapter. And I want to deal with one particular word tonight. It'll come up quite often. And this word is unforgiveness. And you know, this word unforgiveness is very real. I heard David Ravenhill, he's the son of the late Leonard Ravenhill, a wonderful man of God. He said these words. He said, if anything or any sin would tie the hands of God, it's the sin of unforgiveness. And sadly, most of the time, things in people's lives are never really effectively dealt with, because we'll all experience, every one of us in this room, will all experience hurts at times. Even in church, would you believe it? But even in church, we'll experience hurts or betrayals or things will happen to us. And you know, it's so important that when we come to a place where we've been wronged, or something happens to us that pains our hearts, and often it's worse when it's someone who's close to us, it's so important how we react to that. That's so important how we react. The Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8 says these words, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That word corruption means ruin. Then it goes on to say, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And you know, it's so important that what we sow is righteousness in our actions, in our words, and in our deeds. But everyone, every Christian will experience hurt. Every Christian will experience betrayal at some point in your life. Everyone will experience being wronged. Of course, you're all old enough to know now that that will happen to all of us. But it's important, and every time that this happens, how that Christian reacts. Remember this concerning the law of the harvest. You will reap later than when you sow. And that's so important just to remember that simple thought tonight. You will reap later than when you sow. It may be a week, it may be a month, it may be a year. And sadly, it may be even many years. I'll tell you a quick story, just a real story that happened not so long ago. There was a gentleman just a couple of years ago got saved just in our church there. He would have done the market there on the square for some 25, 30 years. His name was Brian. He was 78 years old. He hadn't been in church in 55 years. And God's grace and mercy found him just a couple of years ago. And he gave his life to Christ. And he had moved over here many years ago from England. He had left his wife and his children. They separated. He came over here. And he lived on his own just out by Drumness. But thank God the Lord saved him. And you know, I just want to bring the reality of what happens, you know, when we leave that hurt and that pain, and when we inflict pain on others. And Brian just went home to be with the Lord not so long ago, just earlier this year. And his family came over. His family hadn't seen him for many years. His children were now grown. They were older than me. His daughter was in her 50s. And they came over for the funeral service just to just that time. It was a precious time because he died in Christ. He gave his life to the Lord. But the family were ungodly. They didn't know anything about the gospel. And I sat just with Bran's family, just in his home. And his daughter was there, his son was there. And I just got an opportunity to begin to share the gospel onto these dear ones. And they looked at me. They hadn't heard the gospel before. I says, you know, your daddy got saved. And his daughter, Mandy, she says, well, we knew something had happened. He was different. When we talked to him on the phone, there was something different about him. He had changed, but we hadn't seen him for many, many years. And you know, the conversation went on. There were, some of them began to mock a little bit, and there was a bit of joking going on. And, you know, I just asked the Lord, Lord, just give me something to say. And just at that point, I said, you know, Mandy, this year you sent your daddy. She was 12 years old when her daddy left. She's now a woman in her 50s. I said, but this year you sent your daddy. You sent him a Daddy's Day card, or Father's Day card. And she said, that's right. And I said, you know, Bran came to church. And he walked into the meeting. And he had the card with him. And he showed the ladies of the church, look with my daughter. And at that moment, that woman, 52 years old, began to weep like a 12-year-old girl. The pain and the agony of that moment, an experience and a sense of relief, but to know that her dad was saved. And you know, we make a choice. We make a choice whether we will forgive when we're wronged. And I was able to tell her that her daddy had regrets and he was sorry for what he had done and he'd found peace with Christ. But you see, the lasting effects, it can last many years. To forgive, we are to forgive in the same manner in which Christ has forgiven us. And there's a reason why many people are the way they are. Why we may meet many people that are bitter, cynical with the things of God. Christians who become harsh or bitter about God's people. There's always a reason. And the reason for that often is because they've experienced a spiritual wound or disappointments. Some people are bitter, even with ministers or pastors. Some are bitter with the whole church. They feel the church has let them down. Some feel they should have had recognition. Some feel that they should have held positions and it wasn't given to them. And if we don't deal with the things that have hurt us by forgiving, you know, we will reap. We will reap what we sow. And we can see tonight some precious soul recovered or liberated where we visit again afresh the place called Calvary. And I want us to turn, just referring to this psalm tonight, I just want to move into it. I want us to turn to an Old Testament story that this refers to. It's one of great sin. It's one of disaster. It's one of ruin. It's one of betrayal. It's one of unimaginable pain. And in the midst of that, people made choices. They individually made choices. One found restoration and deliverance, and one found ruin. And friends, tonight I pray that we'll all keep our hearts guarded in the days in which we're living. At this time, David was on the throne. It is after his tragic fall. We know the story of David and how he fell from grace. He was exposed with his sin that he committed with Bathsheba. And this sin lay dormant for maybe about a year or so. And then God would send the prophet Nathan. You know, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And you know, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is long-suffering, but there comes a time when God will expose sin. And friends, we have a choice in that. When God deals with our hearts, when God comes to us in His mercy and in His grace, He wants us to be free from sin. He wants us to repent of sin. He wants us to turn to Him and Him alone to find forgiveness of sin. And by His grace, He gives us the power to overcome sin. But David, of course, we know in the story that he'd committed adultery with this woman. And this sin was hidden for quite a number of months. And then God would send Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet would bring forth the word of the Lord and expose his sin. And basically Nathan, we know the story, he stood before David and he says, David, you're the man. You're the man with the sin in your heart. You're the one that has tried to hide your sin. And then we read the psalm, just a few before Psalm 55, Psalm 51, how David made the right choice when he was confronted with his sin. He said these words of verse 7 of Psalm 51, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Then he says this great verse, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, the consequences of sin was about to bring disaster into the kingdom of David, into the very king's house. We know the story. I'll just go over it quickly. But Amnon, the son of David, would commit that great sin with his sister Tamar, and then Absalom would kill Amnon. And what a very sorry mess that sin leaves right in the very king's house. We just want to turn into 2 Samuel chapter 15 for a few moments, because this brings us into the story of Psalm chapter 55. It's so important just that we follow this through tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now just again, for time's sake, to put it in the context, we see the great sin that has taken place and David has been restored. And now Absalom, David's son, we know the story that he sat at the king's gate and he began to steal, or he stole the hearts of the people. He deputized in his father's stead. And he was basically what we would call was a smooth talker. He was a smooth operator. He had a silver tongue and he undermined or usurped his father's authority. And then it says, just picking up the reading in 2 Samuel 15 and 10, just picking up the reading there, Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And when Absalom went 200, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent, and this is important to pick up this character, because this is in reference to Psalm 55. Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Giloh, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And so as this revolt and rebellion gathers pace, we see this man, and this is a main character in this study tonight. His name's Ahithophel. And we see this man that he is sent for by Absalom, and he's known as David's counselor. So important just to pick up on him. And so David flees. We see the true servant of God. We see here a man that's trusting in God. If you want the throne, if you want position, if you want the power, we see the true servant heart of a man of God. David says, let him have it. I'll just simply go. Pick up verse 23 in the same chapter, 2 Samuel 15, 23. And listen to these words. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And Lo Zedek also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God. And Abiathar went up unto all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. Now, I want you to picture this for a moment. Here's David. His son has rebelled against him. He's usurped his authority. David begins to leave with a great number of people. He sends back the Ark of the Covenant, which is a type of the presence of God and the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, listen, if God's sovereign and over all these circumstances, and you might be in a horrible circumstance tonight that's beyond you, but you know, God is sovereign over every circumstance, over every life, over every trouble in this room. And our trust is in God. Our hope is in Christ. We've been singing this tonight, in Christ alone. In Christ alone, we can place our trust, our circumstances, our burden, our trials, everything that we're going through. We can trust God that He will bring us through. And David basically surrenders everything into the hands of God. Verse 30 of the same chapter. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. You know, it was real pain. It was real tears. It was real troubles. It was real trials. There was real storms. There was real difficulties. It wasn't just a facade. It wasn't just a make-up thing. It was a real heart-rending trouble that David would go through. And he went up. His head was covered. He went barefooted. And all the people that went with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel. Now this is David's counselor. I want you to pick up on this. This is in reference to Psalm 55. And one of David's men said, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now this, sometimes in life we say things couldn't get worse and then they do. And this was a great, great trial that David was going through. He had been restored after his fall. But now there's this great revolt and this rebellion from his son. Now he's leaving. He's barefooted. He's weeping. He says, listen, let him have the throne. That's basically what David was saying. And then he said of the ark of the covenant, he says, put it back in its place. If God's on the throne, God's sovereign, God will bring favor again. God will restore me again. And then the word comes, someone brings the message. And you know, sometimes you just don't want to hear anything else. Could there be any more bad news? And then the messenger comes. He says, David, listen, we have something to tell you. Ahithophel, he's with Absalom. Who is this man Ahithophel? What reference does it have to Psalm 55? I want to just look at him for a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. Let's look at this man Ahithophel. The counsel, 2 Samuel 16, 23. The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, and this is very important, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. In other words, he was a man of God. He was recognized as a man of God. He was a man that brought forth the word of the Lord. When David would seek counsel from the men that were around him, he would turn to Ahithophel and he would ask and inquire of Ahithophel, bring forth the word of the Lord, bring the word of life. What does God say about these things? And he was noted as a man of God. He was, if you like, spiritually head and shoulders above many. And he would bring forth the word of the Lord. But the story of Ahithophel is a very sad one. In verse 12, if you just turn back over, if you could, into Psalm 55 for a moment, because we're going to pick up what this chapter is referring to. Verse 12 of Psalm 55. Keeping in mind this man Ahithophel. This is what the psalmist David says. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. In other words, what he's saying. Now listen. See if it had been someone I didn't know. See if it had been just someone out in the street that wronged me or shouted something to me or, you know, we were out in Downpatrick last night and the amount of abuse we got from some of those young ones. But we don't know them and we're there to win them for Christ and to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has very little effect. But see when it's someone that's a friend. See when it's someone that's close to you. That's what David's saying. It wasn't an enemy that reproached me. Then I would have been able to deal with it. And then he says, neither was he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But then, this is verse 13. He says these words, but it was thou, a man, mine equal. It wasn't Absalom. Absalom was his son, wasn't his equal. It was a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. And verse 14, listen to these words. We took sweet counsel together. We walked onto the house of God in company. This is someone that was very precious to David. Someone very close to David. Someone who went to the house of God with David. Someone who sat at David's table. Someone who was his equal, his guide, and his acquaintance. And just look again at Ahithophel. Of course, David is bearing the consequences of his sin. God had told David what would happen. Had he been forgiven of his sin? Absolutely, he found forgiveness. But the consequences of his actions were devastating. What could possibly have happened to such a man of God? To such a man to rebel and turn and plan and plot the downfall of the king? What happened in this man's life that he would turn on his king and his friend that was David? In a life of hurts and pains and betrayals and being wronged, this man tragically did not deal with the wrong that was done upon him. When David was exposed, what was his cry? Psalm 51 verse 1, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly for mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I have acknowledged my sin before thee. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Ahithophel was a godly man. Ahithophel was a highly respected man. But a terrible thing had happened to him. The real cause of such a rebellion, and I, just for a moment, because here's the tragedy. And you know, just over the past number of weeks, this word has been very much quickened to me, because I've met many, many lovely believers who have been wronged and are hurt and in pain and are in agony. I met a man one day in the bank, and he's an older man, maybe in his late 70s, and he began to weep as he started to talk about the great wrong that's been done to him and how he couldn't cope with the betrayal that he felt. Friends, we need to deal with these effectively. Why did such a man of God rebel in such a manner? Well, I want to take you to the Scriptures and show you. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 3. And we're going back way before David fell. You know, Spurgeon said, if David had prayed in the palace like he prayed in the cave, he would never have fallen into such sin. I want to challenge you and ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? How's your walk with God? I want to ask you tonight, do you read God's Word? Do you meditate upon God's Word? I want to ask you tonight, are you in fellowship with God? Are you intimately in fellowship with God? Do you seek God early? Do you spend time with God? Are you in God's Word? Are you more interested in the pleasures and the things of this world? Friends, I want to tell you, we're living in the last days. And so many today are falling away. The tragedy of an end time, apostasy, and a turning away. The Bible tells us of many deceiving spirits and seducing spirits that will come. And so many are being caught up by the things of the world and the pleasures, the temporal things of this world. And there are many deceiving spirits. There are many false doctrines. We were just talking at the beginning of this service. And so many things are coming into the Church of Jesus Christ under the name of doctrine or sound doctrine. And friends, quite honestly tonight, they're from hell itself. They deceive many, they pull many away. And friends, are we in the Word of God? Are we spending time with God? Do we pray? Do we remember the great things that He's done? The greatest of all, that He's saved us, that He's washed us, that He's delivered us, that He's kept us. The day and the hour that He's stretched forth His nail-pierced hand and He lifted us from a horrible pit. On the 12th of September this year, I was saved 20 years. I thank God for the day that He saved me. I'll never thank Him enough for the day that He saved me and lifted me from a horrible pit. I thank God that He stretched forth His hand and extended His mercy and come down into a horrible pit filled with sin and every type of immorality that you can imagine. And yet God would save me and wash me and cleanse me and deliver me from all troubles and set my feet upon a rock. And friends, are we still in that place that when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for us and how He's saved us, does our souls not cry out, "Hallelujah, thank God for saving me"? Friends, is it real tonight? It's a real salvation. It's a real God. There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. And these are the last days. We are living in the last days. Christ is about to come. I have no doubt about that. I believe everything is pointing to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ to come in His power and His glory. The clouds are about to break. Friends, I believe Christ is about to come with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment in this earth. Obama is not going to end this world. The man in Iran is not going to end this world, friends. Christ is going to come in all His power and His glory. And this is the reality. Where are we in these last days with God? Are we walking with the Savior? Are we serving Him? Is our hearts tender before Him? Have we fallen into sin? Have we been deceived in the last days with the comforts of life and the pleasures of sin and the things around us? And friends, the Bible tells us clearly, Jesus speaking, that the thief has come but for to steal, to kill, destroy, but Christ has come that we might have life. Friends, I want to tell you, right in our schoolhouses, everything of the hell is raised up against our young people in the school. You know better than any of us older ones what's happening there, what's going on there, what you can get down, beamed into your handset, onto your phone. The things of the filth of this world that is being brought in by the kingdom of darkness. And God is looking at people like David, a shepherd boy, or an Esther that would rise up in this day to believe God, to stand for God, to believe God, to proclaim God's word. Tragedy is this, friends. Many, many will go through the motions of religion. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the risen Christ. He's real. We've got a real God that changes lives. There's no one beyond it that God cannot reach forth and save him and set him free. Thank God that it's a day of grace. Thank God it's a day of mercy. And there is salvation. There's mercy with God tonight. Wherever you are, maybe you're cold in heart. That end time church in Revelation chapter 3, the church, the Laodicean, they didn't even recognize their nakedness. They didn't even realize that even though they had much things, they were increased with goods. But yet there is the Savior that's standing at the door of the church and He's knocking at that door. I know we use it for the gospel, but actually it's the church in the last days. He's knocking at the door of the church. He's asking, would someone open and let me come in? You've got clothes, you've got all the goods, you're increased with wealth, everything's going well, everything's ticking over nicely, but you actually don't recognize your nakedness, you're empty. And He says, come and buy of me gold that's tried in the fire. The reality, friends, many are fallen today into sin, fallen and can't sure. They're afraid, the embarrassment, the isolation. The internet, friends, I know we can use it for good, but the tragedy is, friends, it's being used. It is like a web of deceit used by the enemy to entrap many young people. All this stuff that's on it, many men of God have been entrapped by the things that are on the internet. It's a tragedy today, friends, and there's no accountability. Men are isolated, and they're held in a place, and they're empty, and they're dry. And there's no passion for a lost world. There's no passion for souls. And then people are wondering, what's wrong? What's happening among us? Friends, I need to challenge you tonight. We're in the last days. Christ is about to come. Christ is coming. And I want to ask, are you ready to meet the Lord? You can't be saved because your parents are saved. My mom and dad were saved. They're lovely people. My grandparents were saved. My wee granny, she had Parkinson's disease. She was bent over. She loved the Lord. She couldn't get out of her wee chair. But every time I went into that room, her wee face would light up. And she says, son, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll serve God. I'm praying you'll not depart from the path. And friends, this was at a time when I was far into the world and I was lost in sin. I was like the prodigal son and I didn't care what anyone would say to me, but God's mercy reached me. And friends, I thank God that He's still merciful. Maybe you're here tonight and you're cold in your heart. Maybe you're here tonight. I'm telling you, it's not enough that your parents are saved. You got to know Christ. You got to know the Lord personally, individually. You got to surrender your life. I tell you, there's no other life to live than a life for Jesus. No other life to live than a life for Christ. Friends, it's real. It's real. It's a real God. It's a real Savior. And what a friend He is. Here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy of life. We don't deal with the things in our hearts. Here's David. He made an inquiry after a woman. Another man's wife. Who is she? He was deliberate in his sin. You see, his heart was filled with lust. He was overcome. Friends, I know this might sound a strange message for tonight, but I know this is the message the Lord's given me, and I believe I'm speaking to someone tonight. He was deliberate in his sin. He had his eyes on another man's wife. He inquired in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3. He inquired after the woman, who is this woman? Who is she? I want to know who she is. Friends, the tragedy is you don't have to go far to inquire. In the days we're in, the wickedness has come into the home. I want to tell you, we need to put a guard on our homes. We need to put a guard on our handsets. We need to put a guard on those things, these worldly things. I know we can use them for good, but I want to tell you, you need to get a guard on them. Inquired after the woman, and one said, it's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. David, she's a married woman. She's a married woman. 2 Samuel 23, who was this man, Eliam? 2 Samuel 23 and verse 34. 2 Samuel 23, verse 34. It says that Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Galenite, the son of Ahithophel, the Galenite. Why did this man of God, this counselor, sat with David, brought the word of God, went to the house of God with David? Why, when the revolt rose up, when the rebellion came, this man who was so close to David, why? Friends, he's the grandfather of Bathsheba. David had done a terrible thing on his family. An unspeakable thing, a thing that brought great devastation. A thing that destroyed a wee home. A man that was sent to the field to be murdered. That's what he was murdered. And here's this man, this grandfather. You know what grandparents are like with the kids? I have four, and when the grandparents come, it's madness, you know. They just get everything to spoil them. They love them. But yet here's this man, Ahithophel, his granddaughter. And David had committed this sin and ruined her wee family. Ahithophel had done no wrong. He was wronged. Many people will say to me, but you don't know what they'd done to me. I didn't do anything to them. It was what they'd done to me. Tragedy, we hear that constantly today. It's always someone else. Ahithophel, the grandfather of Bathsheba, was wronged. He was left devastated. Friends, I believe this. He never dealt with that hurt. Because when the opportunity come for revenge, he was going to take it with both hands. You see, have you ever heard the term, and sadly we'll hear quite a lot over here, I forgive, but I'll never forget what you've done. You know what? I thank God that God not only forgets, but he remembers no more. And here's Ahithophel. And the end's not pleasant, friend. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23. Remember, you will reap later than which you sow. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. Remember, David says to turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. It says here, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass, he arose, he got home to his house, to his city, he put his household in order. What a tragic end, friends. He hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Sadly, a lot of the time we suppress what people have done. When we don't choose to forgive, we suppress the hurt, the pain, we cover it over. We convince ourselves that all is okay and everything is fine. We have this motto that we'll just get on with it. And I want to tell you, friends, you've swallowed a lie. You see, we don't, like some false churches, try to manage sin. We thank God there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And when we come, we find forgiveness and deliverance from all sin in the precious blood of the Lamb. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Let me just bring some of God's word, bring some fresh light on this. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, this is what the Bible says, many be defiled. Many are defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That is a powerful scripture. That should sink into the depths of our hearts tonight, friends. Let me take you another scripture, Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Mark 11 verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, it's important, forgive. If you've ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, I'm just going to read it and leave it with you. But if you do not forgive, if you choose not to forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. The choice to forgive, the power to forgive, the victory and the freedom that comes when we are forgiven. The Bible says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute righteousness. The Bible says, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Do we grasp how much that we have been forgiven? You know, our youngest lad, Isaac, he's 3 years old. And he has this little teddy bear, and he has to have this teddy bear with him everywhere. It's seatbelted in beside him. He carries it around the house. You try to take this wee teddy bear off and there's tears. It's like his wee comfort blanket. But could I tell you something? Sometimes unforgiveness becomes like a comfort blanket. We want to hold on to it. We feel it's easier to hold on to it than to let it go. And when the Lord comes in His mercy to try to rescue us from this root of bitterness, what's the first thing to do? Just like Isaac does to me. He pulls the teddy close. You want to hold on to things. Friends, I want to tell you, the root of bitterness goes deep down in, and it can ruin that whole vessel. It ruins every relationship. Can't get close to people. You can't build on friendships because we don't choose to forgive. Tonight there is a place of victory and freedom from sin and unforgiveness. And you know where it is? It's Calvary. Friends, you don't have to hold on. You may have been wrong. You may have many injustices. You may feel that people have let you down. But I want to tell you there's one never let you down. And His name's Jesus. He's a faithful friend. The cross is the great leveler. Here we come. The broken, the wounded, the maimed, the blind, the halt. And everyone was touched by Him. We're wonderfully healed and made whole and set free. It says in Matthew 12 and 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment on the victory. He's come to set them that are bruised free. You know there's an answer, and it's in Christ, and it's at the cross. It doesn't have to be the way it is. You can find that victory in Christ tonight.